Thanks so much for joining me, Adam. Now, under our current defence protocol, what is the military's role in responding to domestic terror threats as opposed to the role of the police force?
Yes, there's a fairly high bar at the moment for calling out the military in response to terrorism. So the legislation currently says that the police force, whether it's New South Wales Police or Federal Police, needs to be completely exhausted in terms of its capability before the ADF can be called in to offer support. So what the new legislation is going to try and do is to lower that bar slightly so that although the police force, whether it's going to be local state police or the AFP, will still be the lead agency in response to terrorist incidents, the ADF will be able to be called out to offer more support in incidents like the recent Lindt Cafe siege.
Mm. Now, in the new changes to the Defence Act, it was proposed that some police units will undertake joint training exercises with the military to understand how they go about responding to terror threats. Could this idea of a crossover between the police and the military potentially create blurred lines between the role of police versus the role of the military in these sorts of situations?
Well, that's one of the concerns about this new legislation. So as long as it remains simply training, there isn't that much concern because most people would agree with the idea that if the state special forces response groups are going to be working hand in hand with the military's like unit, then knowing each other's procedures and doctrine is a good idea. Now, if it's only limited to training and getting that crossover in terms of tactics and doctrine, that's one thing. If they're going to start to embed soldiers in police units and police in military units, then that's when the lines start to become very blurred, and that's when things could become a bit more dangerous, and that's where people have concerns.
Well, I understand one of the other concerns or prospective concerns is could police units training with the military be considered a form of police militarisation?
Sure, and so it would be more that the military would be embedding with state police and giving them extra capability. Now, we have seen this joint police-military operation before. In the Solomon Islands, the AFP worked with the military on their patrol. So the AFP would be the ones that would make initial contact with local Solomon Islands citizens, and they would be the interface between the civilians and the security forces. But then you'd have the military right there, ready to be called up if needed. Now, extending that kind of a model to domestic security could raise a whole bunch of different concerns. It seems to be the model that we're trying to bring across from Britain. After the recent London Bridge attacks, the military was on the streets and patrolling alongside the police in just a few hours after the attack. And so I think that some of this legislation is wrapped up with that kind of an image where you'd see both police and soldiers patrolling jointly on the streets after a terrorist incident.
Mm. If you've just tuned into The Daily this morning, we're talking with Dr. Adam Lockyer, Senior Lecturer in Security Studies at Macquarie University, about proposed changes to the Defence Act. Now, it's reported that these changes are the first time the Australian Defence Force's contribution to domestic terror threats have been reviewed since 2005. Now, understandably, a lot of people are a little bit wary, but considering how terror threats have changed in nature over the past 12 years, should this review have been initiated earlier? Is it overdue at this point?
Well, yes and no, because the pattern of terrorism since 2005 has been heading the other direction. So we're seeing after September 11, when Al-Qaeda was the principal international organisation trying to commit these terrorist attacks, they were large, they were sophisticated, they took years of planning before they were implemented. So and those type of large-scale terrorist attacks you could probably make a stronger case for the military being caught out in response to those type of attacks. Since then, however, since, say, 2005, we've seen a move more towards those lone wolf attacks, where you have those individuals have been inspired by the goals of Islamic State and others, taking it upon themselves to go out and try to commit a terrorist attack. And often these are very low scale in terms of using knives, axes, whatever's available around the house. Not much planning, not much coordination with others. And those type of attacks would be far more within the capabilities of the police to respond to than the large-scale attacks that we saw earlier on. So it seems to be the pattern of terrorism is moving the other direction, away from those type of incidents but that would more justifiably require a military response.
With that in mind, it does seem interesting timing for this shift then. Now, a lot of people have said that the Sydney siege is a big factor. The PM explicitly stated that the review into the military's contribution to domestic terror threats was not initiated because of the 2014 Sydney siege, but it was initiated through observing patterns of international terrorism. In looking at how other countries delegate responsibility between police and the military responding to terror situations, how does this new proposal compare with other countries?
Yeah, I think that's correct. So I think that we have, whether or not they want to admit this or not, the Lindt Cafe siege looms large in all of these decisions. So these two decisions that we've had, first off about changing the call-out powers of the military, and second of all, trying to form a home office. So bringing the AFP, ASIO, into one super department is both modelled on the example of the British. And I think that people have been comparing the Lindt Cafe siege response with that of how the British have responded to their recent terrorist incidents in places like the London Bridge attacks. And the British have been compared favourably compared to how the New South Wales police responded. And so a lot of these, both these big announcements this week about the expansion of the military powers, but also about creating this home office, is about modelling us more on the British model.
Mm. Well, Adam, thanks so much for joining us this morning to explain a little bit about what's going on and to frame this in the global context as well.
Thank you, Philip.